On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. We couldn't let a weekend go without giving you guys a new episode to listen to. So here's what we did. We got the best of November. We got stuff from the Falcons game, the Texans game, the Bucks game, and then the game in Dallas, which clearly didn't go the way folks expected. A lot happened, too. Remember, Alex got hurt. Some other players got hurt. Some other players came back. Plenty to listen to here and kind of remember what all happened in the last 30 days. As always, want to thank the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, so you should too. And don't forget, the Redskins Talk Christmas Party, the Christmas podcast party. First ever Christmas party, December 6th, Matchbox in Rockville. It's going to be a big one. Everybody, if you can, bring a toy. We're going to do a Toys for Tots drive to help some needy kids around the holidays. It's going to be a big time blast. All right, here comes the Best of November podcast for you. One more time, thank the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Back to pass Ryan. Little pass out in the flat to Coleman. Mason Foster too late getting over there. And it's an Atlanta touchdown. Tevin Coleman's second touchdown catch of the game. This one from the 10. And Atlanta extends their lead to 27-7 early in quarter number three.
Let's get down to business. Oh, GOATs. Jesus. I'm starting. Alex Smith. I recognize he had 306 yards.
That's pretty wild.
It was hollow. They're not getting enough from the pass game. And the receivers aren't playing that well. And I know the O-line is beat to shit. But they got to get better play from the quarterback.
Yeah.
Does anybody disagree?
No. No.
You went with the leader of the offense. I'm going with the leader of the defense. DJ Swearinger has been...
lights out.
Lights out. He's been one of the best safeties in football, and today he was not. Am I correct, Pete? We have the stat book over there. Zero tackles for Mr. Swearinger.
He seemed kind of frustrated about that after. I think the last thing he was asked,
yeah,
he said, I didn't like being used half field or something. Is that what he said?
No, he was saying that they were having to crowd the box because they couldn't. They couldn't stop the
yeah.
run.
You got to stop the run. Made teams one-dimensional. We got to load the box. Let's load the box.
And he didn't have a whole lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
He and the defense, we talked ad nauseum about it. He and the defense did not play well.
Wow.
DJ Swearinger.
Mitch,
not,
you're right.
Not here in the stat sheet, man.
Yeah, you look on the stat sheet and there's no Swearinger.
That's a tough one. Wow. And he had one sort of opportunity on the on the screen that Matt Ryan overthrew, and he kind of went after Ito Smith instead of going after the ball. But, I mean, the whole thing was just
– Yeah, yeah, there was a little chance there.
J.U. Chesson had more – is on the stat sheet, and D.J. Swearinger's not when it comes to tackling.
I'll tell you what. J.U. Chesson has been
– He's a great special teamer.
Dude, yeah.
Good
He's
special
got
teams.
Value.
Okay.
Yep. Go ahead.
I'm going to do Josh Doctson. I had him on there for the two drops, and I was going to take him off when he had the good sideline catch and then the touchdown. I figure those were canceled. And then he came back and did the dumbest ball spin of all time. And he's now firmly back on the GOATs list and is continuing to be an enigma and confusing and not very reliable.
Yep.
I don't know where to go next, kind of.
This is I was just thinking as we were talking about it. Like, you
like is Peterson
go?
A GOAT? I don't think so. Like, no, he had nine carries for 17 yards, but, like, is the O-line a GOAT? No, because everybody's hurt.
Yeah.
Like, did Tony Bergstrom perform worse than we expected? I don't think so. I don't really think.
About what you expected.
Right, like.
How about Alex throwing the ball right in – we forgot.
Adrian Peterson's butt.
Between the two and the six.
Into his butt. Yeah.
Like,
what the old left pass. And the right.
What in the hell?
Between the left and the right was funny. That's not what you said to me in the press box either.
Yeah.
But you used a much more graphic word. That's a bad throw, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you split the uprights on that one.
Good to see we can still have fun.
Because we could go player by player on defense and get out.
Yo, the D-line.
Just the defense.
We jock the D-line so much.
I jock the D-line.
In particular, the big man loves his big men. Yo, let's give a hat tip to Dunbar. He had to pick.
Well, you got to give a hat tip to Ioannidis then, too.
For what?
He had a sack.
Sack.
No. An interception comes rarer than a sack.
You're right. When you have 6.5 of them, they do.
I just want to make sure that the fans listening know this because we'll write
about
it.
I'm giving the whole D-line a GOAT.
Fine. I'm not arguing.
Redskins were one injury away. Yeah.
Are you agreeing or are you saying, yeah, like, you hear me?
I don't know what we're even agreeing on.
The D-line gets a GOAT.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
Ioannidis was going to be the next offensive lineman if there's one more injury.
That's pretty wild.
That shows how desperate things were.
We talked to Sundberg about it in the locker room after, and he's like, dude, I weigh 250, and I don't know the calls or anything.
Yeah,
like,
he plays a position where you aren't allowed to hit him.
Right.
Honestly, I was thinking it would be Jeremy Sprinkle.
I thought Sprinkle,
because
he's
been – as a tight end, he's in on run
well,
calls.
You'd like to think he could come in at tackle, and then they slide somebody down. But
right.
What a disaster.
I mean, and I think in the run game, it's hard to really look at what happened today because – the O-line was just a mess.
I also just think it's also worth pointing out, I don't know whether anyone thinks this is the case, but these guys weren't going out with soft injuries.
No.
Like, Morgan and LaVau and Sheriff.
Dude, LaVau had to be wheelchaired off.
I've never seen that.
You don't see many wheelchairs. Where's the cart?
Right. I don't know.
Where was the cart?
Could they not get it on the sideline from where he was or something? He was taken to the sideline and then behind.
They would have had to wait for a TV timeout to do it, so maybe they were trying to get him in there.
No, you could bring the cart out of the tunnel and then make the right.
No, there's not room over there.
You sure?
Yeah. Either way, those guys play through just about everything.
Yeah, it's not concerning just for today. You've got to be concerned about Sheriff and LaVau long term.
Is Sheriff or LaVau
like this terrible offensive line we saw today? A good majority of them might be playing next week against Tampa, or guys that sign up the street.
Or Casey Dunn has to be active.
Or but practice
Casey Dunn might be active. They might also have to bring guys off the street.
Oh, yeah. Like,
this could be
– you need to sign a card.
Like, is TJ Plemmings around? Like, they might just bring in those types of players for next week. Or roll with the crappy group they had today.
And the trade deadline just passed.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough situation right now.
They lost the battle.
Place your bets. And you don't like speculating on injuries, but I think it's relevant to the conversation. LaVau playing next week?
No.
I think LaVau's long-term.
Is Sheriff playing next week? I don't think so.
His shoulder was wrapped. He looked to be in a lot of pain. He's already dealing with other stuff.
The look on his face when they sat him up, I mean, that was rough. And
that dude's a warrior.
Did they show it on TV, but Trent's reaction when these guys were getting hurt, he just, like, each time it was a bigger and bigger reaction. And, like, when Sheriff went down, it was just like a
F.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
what was that noise?
I was trying not to drop an F-bomb on it.
Yeah, that's fair. Is there anybody else we need to goat?
Morgan Moses had 3 holdings and a 15-yard penalty.
He was hurt, but that's fine.
That's a lot of yards.
Do it then. Say it.
Morgan Moses gets a goat.
Am I being too tough giving Norman one? That bad PI that he dragged down Julio.
Yeah, dude, that looked like
early.
He could get hurt.
Yeah. I just, like,
I think
he did
fair.
A good job trailing early, but I just think he got the better player won.
I thought Zach Brown and Mason Foster had some coverage issues. I mean, they're going up against Julio and Tevin Coleman, but either it's them or it's the scheme or something, but they both were exposed at plenty of instances.
Is it time to start talking a little more about Preston Smith?
Yeah.
We're 8 games in and haven't heard hide nor hair of him.
You trying that phrase again, huh?
I'm dropping it on you.
I think it's fair. I think it's fair.
More than fair.
You giving him a goat or just like, yo, where is this dude?
I don't think he's a goat because he did something wrong. I just think it's like, where the hell is he?
What's going on? It might be a goat.
Well, I'm starting to think he won't be here. I mean, he's got eight games left as Redskin.
Yeah.
Also, Crowder, he keeps getting hurt. That's another guy who could not be back.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sheriff's the only one who you want to extend out of that group right now.
Money is always the issue.
I understand.
Money's the answer to everything. I don't know. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
The Preston conversation is certainly relevant. This team could also really use Jameson Crowder. I mean, both those conversations are relevant.
Yeah. In preseason, when we had Preston mic'd up, he talked about, where does everyone get this inconsistent stuff from? I always get asked about being inconsistent, but, like, where is this coming from? I don't feel like I'm inconsistent. This is exactly what we're talking about.
Well, no, this year he's consistent. He consistently does not show up at all. But,
You feel like at some point he's going to have a big game somewhere, and it's all of a sudden it's been like you see the flashes of what he can be, but there's got to be a base level of play, mm-hmm. and I don't think we're getting that from him, at least what they need.
One tackle in this game. One more tackle than me.
Yep. I don't know. You tackle that PF Chang's pretty hard.
I went for it.
I'd get you in the stat book for that.
Well, Harris goes in motion, lines up in the slot on the left side. Bibbs, the running back. Alex takes a snap. Looking, under heat. No place to go. Looking end zone. Fires! Caught! Redskins touchdown! Touchdown! That is Josh Doctson in the back of the end zone. What a play!
Pete is giddy, so...
champing at the bit.
Go for it, Pete.
I'm going to give it to Ryan Anderson. He was kind of a surprise... big-time contributor with Pernell McPhee being a kind of a late scratch, one that we weren't really expecting.
Yo, was that for – I don't think that's for injury.
Was there some sort of disciplinary
– oh, Mitch has got that look in his eye.
No, I got nothing. I don't know what it was about.
Well, whatever the hell it was.
Okay,
it
I have the Doctson play. Will you just come watch this real quick?
Dude, it's –
I trust you.
Okay.
Wow, are you accepting defeat?
Is emo Mitch over here?
Are you accepting defeat?
No.
Well, then come look at it because I pulled the play up.
All right, go, Pete.
Ryan Anderson, I think that – forced fumble punch is something that just—it was great effort. And Jonathan Allen said afterward,
"Hell out of that thing!"
Just like that,
like
you know,
super uppercut.
Anderson had a very rough rookie season, and it's not like he's really getting to the quarterback this year either. But those kind of plays—it's just those are big time difference makers. That's high intelligence. It's high effort. That was very impressive to see rushing the passer, then reversing your path and going downfield to punch out the ball. And he hasn't panned out a ton as a second-round pick, but you're starting to see a little bit here and there, and I thought that was just a massive, massive play. Very cool for Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, that was a big-time play. They needed it. He made it. I had Norman and Ryan Anderson on the post-game show. Both of those interviews will run tomorrow in the day after pod, and Ryan is a tough guy, and he's not like – warm and fuzzy, you know what I mean?
He's not emo Ryan Anderson.
No, he's not.
There's no emo about him.
But he's likable. You agree with that?
Yes. All those guys just have carbon copy personalities. No nonsense. The Alabama guys, I think, are just very serious.
Yes, but Allen and Payne, Sean Dion Hamilton is not. Like, he's super serious, but he's outgoing. Like,
okay.
He's you can tell he's a captain of a team. Allen and Payne... Payne's a rookie. He's just quiet.
Right.
Allen has a personality. Ryan Anderson is a different dude.
I know. He's different.
But you just
but
said they're all,
just said they're all the same.
I kind of think when a microphone's in front of their face, all they do is talk about making plays and winning and moving on to the next week.
You're right. That's the only time you can tell a guy's personality is when a microphone's
in
his face.
Yeah, Josh Doctson's catch was in the middle of the end zone, I'm sure.
All right. Let's keep it moving here. Mitch, me or you?
Oh, God. I'm going to switch couches.
No. You're not coming to my couch.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a user-submitted one, Bill Callahan. Got these guys.
I saw that.
Got these guys up and running. They played well enough.
Some penalties. Some junk penalties, but some penalties.
Some penalties.
And hell, three of them at least were on Inseki and Moses, who aren't up
right.
and running.
Cooper had a couple.
And Cooper had two holds. But you got to remember that it was 80 degrees out there today. The dude hasn't played a football game in at least 10 months or so.
Yeah. It was warm out there.
Only two sacks.
That was a tough situation for those guys to step into.
They grinded out 116 yards on the ground.
I think all things considered, you're happy with how the O-line stood up.
I think we were expecting total disaster, and we didn't get it.
And, dude.
We thought there might be total disaster.
I think Trent might play in Dallas.
You know what's cool? Watching
Trent. But if he doesn't play, it's almost a bye week till Philly.
Yeah. What's cool is watching Trent work with the O-line when he's never injured and being hurt now. Watching him going over the, what are those things called? The tablets with the guys. And
you know what's cool is just watching Trent.
Yeah.
Trent is cool.
Man. And he rolled out today with the
Camo.
The camo.
It wasn't a cast. It was a wrap. He made clear to tell me that.
The camo wrap on his thumb, which was cool because it matched the Salute to Service, Veterans Day, all that stuff that they're doing.
Trent is cool. Like, I wish people – Trent's kind of like – he's not quiet, but he's a little bit reserved. You know what I mean? But, like, I consider myself lucky that I've kind of gotten to know Trent a little bit. And he's just cool, man. Like, he's just a good, cool dude. You agree with that? You know him better than me.
I agree. He's always been, like, aside from when the microphone's in his face.
Jeez. That's the only way Pete knows anybody.
He's always been a cool dude to talk to. And he's interesting and he's kind of laid back. And he's a quiet, confident. Right. Is that
you ever heard of the Jeep wave?
No.
So people that drive Jeeps always wave to other people driving Jeeps. It's like, at least with Wranglers, it's like a thing you do.
Yeah.
Mitch gets the Jeep wave equivalent of offensive linemen.
Definitely.
Like, O-line men are always cool with Mitch. They're like, oh, what's up, man?
And the D-line guys, too.
Always the O-line.
Always O-line.
Though. Well, the D-line, I think you were close with a lot of those older veterans that were here for a
while.
Right. Now it's all young dudes. Like, we don't know those guys that well. But Pete knows them all because they're all carbon copies. But you and I don't know them all that well.
So annoying. So annoying. Put your shirt on, JP.
Yes, this is true.
All right. Am I up?
You're up.
I wish the weather was nicer in Tampa Bay.
I don't know that it – this is Southern California nice right now. Yeah. Like
Doc Walker on the sidelines today was like, man, this is making me miss home.
He's like, this is what I grew up with. Yeah. That's what he told me.
He's from L.A. He went to UCLA. He's like, man, this makes me think of home. He's like, this is freaking perfect.
So when Alex Smith was walking to the bus, I was like, dude, this is SoCal weather. He's like, I love it. a dude who is way cooler when the microphones aren't on is Alex.
So Alex Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick, same draft. You guys heard that?
That's wild.
300.
And Alex got into Harvard, didn't he?
Yeah.
Could have been teammates.
Dude, that means they might have been recruiting him, and then he went to Utah, and they took Fitz.
That might be.
That's funny, dude.
So pregame, the Bucks in-stadium pregame show or whatever was saying that Alex Smith has 192 passing touchdowns. Ryan Fitzpatrick had 190 leading into the game. And they were surmising that Ryan Fitzpatrick would leave today's game having more touchdown passes than Alex Smith. What does that get you, Pete?
You know what was quiet today? The Buccaneers ship was awfully quiet. They fire a cannon when the team gets into the red zone. The what red the hell is that lame, about? Dude. That's stupider than the effing PB&Js they do.
You know who jumped at that?
Yeah, that cannon scared the hell out of me.
JP
Finlay. I'm not scared to admit it.
This guy.
Today? You did?
Yeah. At the red zone cannon?
I didn't know they did it in the red zone.
So stupid.
So the first two times they went in the red zone, it got me. Like, it went off, and I was like, hey.
That's enough. Dude, I tell you what, man, and not to get emotional, I have missed Tandler like effing crazy on this trip. This is the first real road trip without him. You know what I mean? Like, there were like all day yesterday, Tandler would have been running around with us doing checking in, and I don't know, man. Like, I've been to Tampa with him a number of times.
We've both
made this trip together. So it's a weird one. Like, when I dropped my phone 2 years ago, remember I dropped my phone in the swamp?
Yes,
and Tandler just laughed and laughed. When I got scared by the cannon, and Tandler just laughed and laughed. All right, we're still on game balls. Jeez, this is going to be a marathon.
We've only done two game balls so far.
Morgan Moses. Dude was hurt as hell. I don't think people really recognize how hurt he was. I saw him leaving the locker room. I was like, Mo, you all right? He's like, I'm going to be hurting tomorrow, but it's all worth it. And that's what you need to know about his mentality. Dude is a warrior.
We watched him warm up a little bit when he came out
and t-shirts. Not even not good. It looked bad.
He looked clunky. He didn't look like he could move. He didn't look like he could put a whole lot of weight on the leg. And, like, that's his anchor on the right side. That right knee is
And I think they caught him jumping early. They caught him moving early. I think he's looking for every advantage he could. And absolutely. It was just, if he could get that leg back there planted a little bit before some big DN comes at him, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that was a mistake. I think he was trying to get any inch he could.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Pete.
He's also the victim of the single worst holding call in NFL history.
I thought that was Insecki.
No, it was Moses.
Oh, Moses was that the one that Moses
pushed the guy
about?
And, yeah, they called holding.
Yeah.
So Pete, I'm sorry, Morgan, that you had to go through that. I'm going to give one to Josh Norman. That interception he made.
Crazy athleticism.
So he's dropped a lot of basic ones for the Redskins, and he's dropped a lot of difficult ones. So for him to make that very difficult interception on the first drive and kind of quell that early momentum, I thought was really big. A nice return, too. And two interceptions this year. After having none last year, he's kind of reversing that a little bit. You need your playmakers to make big-time plays like that, and he's kind of come on after that New Orleans game.
Seven games left, over, under 3.5 INTs for Norman.
Three and a half?
I'll probably go.
I'm going to go under because I think
one
he
more.
Ends up with three.
Yeah.
One over.
What the hell?
But just an acrobatic as hell interception. Very impressive for him to make that little snag there.
Agreed. And we talked about that on the day after pod. You'll hear it tomorrow. Or we talked about it on postgame. You'll hear it tomorrow.
Or
hopefully you watch postgame.
Yeah, watch postgame. I'm going to go with Zach Brown.
ZB played well, especially we haven't even talked about that tweet.
How much we want to get into it, but he had whatever controversy he had. Redskins fans, I know you guys know this or saw it or know it, and whatever happened. He came out and played like a dog today, and he struggled for a couple games in a row, or at least last week. And
the linebackers played poorly against the Falcons. The linebackers played well today.
Yeah.
I think it's that simple.
I think both Mace and him.
Yeah.
But
I think they were misaligned a lot
in
Atlanta.
Yeah, just considering the whatever the tweet was about to come out, and I think he led the team in tackles or was second in tackles was impressive.
Concur. I like it, Mitchell.
Give my guy Greg Stroman a game ball.
Let's go. First one of his career.
Seventh round rookie gets a pick.
And he played that deep ball from DJ
really
well.
Yeah. Dude.
I mean, Fitz should have never thrown it, but like.
Fitz is wild.
Yeah.
We might have to get Fitz a game ball. We're definitely giving Chandler Cannizzaro a
bastard.
Game ball.
How is,
sorry. Go
that's
ahead.
That's okay.
Pete's going to give like the wind or the upright.
Yeah,
the
you know
game
Pete's
ball.
Got the PB&Js.
Yeah, I'm going to do an inanimate object soon. One. I'm going to give one to Josh Doxson. Like you said, JP, four catches and
fair.
A touchdown.
The touchdown catch was huge, and he worked back to the QB to get open. I got to rewatch that.
And it was a difficult catch, too. There's bodies around him. Like, that was very important. And he also had no ball spinning penalties today. So good for him, Josh Doxson.
That's always a good one.
Yeah. Or bad drop.
Two touchdowns, 2 weeks. Josh Doxson waking up a little bit here. I don't think he's ever going to kind of fully fulfill that first round pick, but he could be a good complimentary receiver, and he's done that the last couple
weeks. I also don't think this offense is going to produce big volume, big games. I guess Mo had 10 catches, 120 last week, but that was junk.
It's going to be everybody kind of working together and just manufacturing stuff. And he did that today.
Manufacturing offense, dude.
Manufacturing offense. I have a feeling you guys are going to not like this one.
Oh, God.
But I'm going to give Adrian Peterson one.
I'm cool with that.
Or
they had nothing but him.
I'm never against Adrian Peterson getting a game ball.
You know what? After post touchdown, he put the ball down their throats. He stayed in bounds. They ran a lot of runs to the outside, and he stayed in bounds. He was churning up yards. He was getting first downs. He did a pretty damn good job in the fourth quarter of keeping that clock moving and keeping the Redskins offense on the field.
Dude, I don't know why we would complain about that.
Yeah. I'm all for Adrian Peterson getting his glory. It's just
glory.
His Redskins talk glory.
Preston gets game ball.
Sure.
Sack fumble?
Of course.
RT weekend? Done.
Yeah, done.
Pete?
That's kind of my list
hat
there.
Hat tip for Jeremy Sprinkle.
I'm going to do a hat
He's
tip.
He's blocking his butt off.
Hat tip to Mo Harris as well. And then, yeah, I had Catanzaro on my list. Just
we'll do it.
How the hell do you miss the net from 30 yards away? And then he pushed another one wide,
Mitch
too.
Mitch loves how bad my putting is on, like, 4 or 5 footers that I should absolutely make.
That was one of those putts where it's not even in line with the hole ever.
No.
It was
like,
off from the second
like you
it
yank
left his
it,
toe.
You put, yeah. I mean, it was – that was remarkable.
It was.
Where were you, Mitch?
For the 30-yard miss?
The one that he missed the net.
That I was right in the corner of the end zone in line with the goalpost. So it's tough to see
coming
how
coming at you or and the ball went away from you, right?
So I was on the back line of the end zone, so in line with the goalpost. So you see the ball miss. It was coming towards me. It was towards me.
So you could tell that it was
It wasn't close. I mean, it wasn't close.
That was a danger to the fans. Like, that ball was going to hit somebody.
And just so we're clear, you also know where the corner of the end zone is.
I'm so in on making fun of Mitch because normally I get
A serious look I'm getting.
He's going to
I don't usually get that. That's the look I got in Richmond right before he almost threw me in the fire pit.
That was a scary look. That was
I saw it.
Never want to see that look again.
That was a dangerous situation.
Oh, God, I'm scared.
All right, you got any others, Mitchell?
Can I steal your guy?
Sure.
Tressway.
Baller.
Phenomenal.
Baller.
Just pulling the string on all of his punts.
Dude, we talked.
I want him to celebrate better. I want him to get a better celebration after hitting a good punt.
What's his celebration now? Just kind of run down and shake everybody's hands?
They're like,
classy.
And like, act like you've been there before. Like, the dude's been there before. Every game, he's great.
I thought today was his best one of the year. Because that ball bounced three times inside the five. And so we talked to Tress. So some of my story time is coming up during Game Balls and Goats, which is good. So we talked to Tress as he was walking over to the buses. And Danny asked him, hey, you know, you dropped that. I don't care, Pete. Pete's telling me we've gone 30 minutes.
Just letting you know.
They're 6-3, dude. I think people want to listen.
I'm just letting you know. I'll do this
Mitch, don't you think people want to listen?
They're 6-3, Pete.
They're 6-3.
I don't care.
I need to go back to muting you?
Where's Pete going?
I don't know.
Pete's like climbing the wall. What
I'm
are you
excited.
Doing?
I'm
worried.
Millennial meter.
All
right.
How sweaty are those hands right now, Pete?
So talking to Tress, and Tress is like, I dropped that in like a wedge. And we were like, do you talk to the ball? You know, in golf, you're like, bite, stick, whatever you want to say.
Get legs, be good.
Right, all that. Tress is like, I talk to the ball on every putt. Dude.
It sounds like a mic'd up for Richmond next year, Mitchell.
Could we do Tress? That'd be funny.
We could definitely do Tress.
He's funny.
He'd have his trivia questions and talking to the ball. He's seriously, we rank the players 1 to 53 in importance, and he's usually like 45 or whatever. This year, he's
54 in JP's.
You're right. This year, Tress is probably, a top 22 player.
That's just a helicopter.
Immediately after the offensive defense.
13 feet over our head.
There's a helicopter. There's people in the hot tub now. I just heard the dude say, what are these guys recording? A podcast?
Yeah, Redskins Talk. You ever heard of it? We're setting records over here, bro.
All we're doing is breaking records monthly.
Drink your Coors Light missile.
Broke another record. And,
every month.
I don't know what I need to ask the PR people what I'm allowed to say. But here's what I can tell you. You guys are part of a serious movement, and we are beating everybody's ass. And I love it. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm
going to
do it right now.
What?
Are you?
Right now. December 6th, we are thanking you.
Oh, he did it!
December 6th,
he did
we are thanking
it.
You guys. Our next podcast.
Easy.
Oh, I just used the F word. I'm going to have to edit that out.
Yeah, you're going to have to
our
edit.
Next
it,
podcast
to
party
anything.
Is December 6th.
Yo,
December
Mitch
6th,
just...
Christmas party. Oh. Dude, I forgot.
We're going.
We're going.
Happening.
We're doing it.
This is happening.
December 6th. Put it on your calendar.
Mark your
calendars. We don't have a location locked in yet. We don't have a beer sponsor locked in yet. We have to coordinate all that stuff with sales and marketing, but
December
it's all coming.
However, 6th. Put it on your calendars. Make sure.
Tim Meek, you're flying in from Indianapolis. Book your flight, dude.
You wanted it the first two weekends of December. We made it happen.
I'm delivering. We're delivering.
Get a babysitter for the kids.
That was
tell
hype,
your wife.
That was
tell
hype.
Your husband.
Did it.
Whoever it is.
Mitch,
I don't know what he was going to do.
Mitch Dunn did it.
I believe, and I'm trying to look this up, but I don't have it. I don't think Tress has a touchback all season.
No, he doesn't.
That's absurd.
Absurdity.
When he was punting with, 25 seconds left or so, however much time was left in the game, I was like, this is the punt that you blast through the back of the end zone
because
the game's over and it doesn't matter. Nope. Just casually drops it on the 6-yard line and
One
Jehu
more
Chesson,
inside the 10.
Jehu Chesson tracks it and downs it.
Jehu's a special teams player.
So,
he is.
I kind of think he can be like the Redskins' Matthew Slater, but that's another time for another conversation.
Yeah, man. Dude, you know, it was an RT special. We do that ranking the Redskins. Remember, it was like a July special, 1-53.
You and I didn't do it because
there were only two of us that did it, and it was me and RT.
You never tried, and my Excel sheet broke.
I did it for like 6 years, for the record. I missed it this year because I didn't get the email.
Right. It was me and RT, and I was arguing with him because he had Darius Geis as the 7th most important Redskin.
Well, here's all I'm going to say. Wherever we ranked Tressway,
too low.
Yes.
Way too
and
low.
And this season, in the new Redskins world where all they do is play defense and punt
exactly
and manufacture offense, Tress is wildly
the
important.
The NFL is breaking records for offense and numbers this year, and the Redskins are just like, nah, we're going to win
16-3. When the NFL zigs, the Redskins zag.
Here comes the blitz. Here comes McLean. Alex Smith under heat. He's steamrolled at the 40-yard line. That takes him out of field goal range. And Alex Smith is hurt. Alex Smith is hurt. He clutched his right knee as he went down, and he is hurt. And FedEx Field is silent. He's hurt bad, man. Look at him.
We've done a lot of these post-game podcasts. Never, ever after a game like that. I don't know what the hell the emotions are after that. The quarterback breaks his leg in a gruesome fashion. Ironically, 33 years to the day, the Theismann broke his leg in a gruesome fashion. The backup QB comes in, almost gets them back to a win. A couple terrible calls, some curious decisions. Team finally fought back out of a hole. I think half the stadium thought this thing was over at 10-0. That was a wild, wild roller coaster game that the Redskins lost, but they fought, and they've been blown out in all their previous losses. They showed something today we had not seen. What the hell do we make of this thing? I don't know. J.P. Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. Mitch is here. Pete is here. As always, brought to you by the folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Y'all need to ride with them. Fellas, what the hell?
What a roller coaster of emotions. I mean, I guess you take it from after Alex breaks his leg, because that's when that's where the 2018 season starts now, the rest of the way. And for whatever it's worth, you said we saw something out of the team that we hadn't seen before. They fought back. They rallied. It's so cliche to say that you rally around an injured player, but literally standing next to the bench after Alex is carted off, the stadium is silent, you know, cool, the Texans come over and dap him up and whatnot. The bench started hooting and hollering. Like they were loud. They were cheering each other on. They were more emotional than I think I've seen, not crying emotional, but like into the game
these
emotional.
These dudes love Colt. And, you know, we heard it in the locker room. Pete, I know you talked to some guys about Colt afterwards and just kind of the common response.
Yeah, prepared, competitive. Chase Roullier says he is one of the most prepared and competitive guys he's seen, that he treats walkthroughs and scout team stuff like Super Bowls. So it's not a backup quarterback where you're kind of, well, the season's toast. This is a guy that the players are excited about and believe in and see every day.
Hell, we talked about, do they need to go to Colt?
Earlier in the year.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. And there was energy as soon as he was out there. It's undeniable. Alex threw two first-half interceptions, which was very odd, but Alex was moving the ball compared to what they'd done the last few
weeks. He was having his best game.
Yeah, he wasn't getting help a lot.
He was very inaccurate, though.
Inaccurate, but
he was going downfield. He was moving down the ball downfield. Chunk plays. Yes. If Vernon catches two of those passes, they're really getting chunk plays. But Colt comes in, runs for a first down on his first play, throws a perfect ball to Jordan Reed for a touchdown on the next play.
Like 3 feet in front of me. It was beautiful.
They moved the ball up and down the field with Colt in there. I think.
How about that fourth and one play where they didn't hand the ball to AP?
The blind
and
bootleg.
Yeah, the naked boot out there. I mean, that's they showed a level of trust.
They were a little gutsy with all the running plays.
Very, very gutsy. Been a read option keeper
Jordan
on the first
Reed or
play.
Trey Quinn as your emergency quarterback.
Trey Quinn can fire that pigskin.
He told me, he's like, I got a cannon, dude.
He does. Pre-game, he goes out there, and he practices – like as he was warming up, and I remember this from the preseason game, but as he's warming up, he practices like read option and throws the ball back to the.
Respectfully, though.
No, obviously. Yeah, I'm not saying he's a suitable
Trent
backup.
Trent has a great arm too. But
yes. I'm not saying he's a suitable backup by any means.
I mean, shit, man. It's hard to process all that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there are so many storylines from this game. The Redskins' run defense all of a sudden sucks, and that's a very, very big problem going to Dallas on Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
The call on Josh Norman late was absolute junk, and then the kicker misses the kick, so you're like, no harm, no foul. But yet it cost them 25 seconds.
Dude,
on the
I wrote
clock.
About it. It cost them a minute. It was a minute 51 to 52, and the Redskins had to use their final timeout. So that was a massive call. It doesn't matter that the field goal is missed. It's still screwed the Redskins'
comeback. Not to mention the two questionable PI calls that easily
on Doxson.
Doxson should have gotten at minimum one of them.
He could have fought up with the ball for the ball a little bit on one of them better, but yeah, the last
Texans
one
ran for 140 yards.
Oh,
that's
definitely
a big problem.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at their long-term future with Colt, or you could just look at this as an important game that they lost, and now all of a sudden the division's tight. I mean, there's a million.
Dallas won. I tell you what, man. Thursday in Jerry World's going to be electric.
It's like all the show.
Like Colt going down there gives it more juice than if it was Alex going down there and the Skins were 6-4.
You guys
last time
Monday
we were down,
night,
yeah.
Were you there for the Monday night game?
I was not.
I mean, it was palpable. You could feel the excitement. That was the no means no game, but it was palpable. You could feel the excitement pregame. You could see it in Colt's eyes how excited
Colt,
he was.
And I don't know that all our listeners understand that, like, Colt in Texas is John Riggins at FedEx
he's
Field.
He's a legit
like,
legend.
I think he's going to be governor of Texas.
He could be.
That is complete speculation on my part, but, like, he could be down there. Like, he is the dude. And so for him to come in there on Thanksgiving, it's going to be effing crazy.
It's going to be awesome.
So let's look at his line real quick. 6-12, 54 yards and the touchdown, rating of 90.3, and then 5 carries, 35 yards. I think he looked more decisive with the football.
The offense looked different.
Things seemed to happen quicker.
The offense looked different with him at the helm.
I'm wondering.
He got the ball out quick. When he needed to tuck it, he tucked it and moved. He was decisive. He was quick. He was accurate.
And 6-12. I don't know how accurate you are, but
well, he took a few more.
Some
downfield
of those were also
shots.
Those downfield shots, which is what Colt does.
Yeah, I think him.
Right. The numbers are never going to look like Alex. Sorry, Pete.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see how he does now, full game or going down the line, because we've seen him play with the Redskins in the past, and it's good in spurts. But can Colt McCoy play consistently and stay healthy enough for 6 games and lead you to the playoffs? That'd be the longest stretch that they've needed him for. So I'd like him in 2 quarters, but in 6 games, it's going to be a different story, I think. Or at least it's going to be more challenging.
You also got to remember it's tough for defense to – defense is game plan for an offense, but the game plan for how a particular quarterback runs that offense. Mm-hmm. And Alex Smith runs the Redskins offense much differently than Colt McCoy.
Formulaic, mechanical.
Yes.
Colt lets it fly. Tee it high and let it fly.
He's your gunslinger.
He is a Texas gunslinger.
He's a
gunslinger from Texas.
All right. Golly, I don't know.
All right.
I got notes. You want to go through the notes? I'm going through my notes.
I'll tell you what, as you're looking for your notes.
I have them.
They're right there.
It sounded like something you were going to have to pour through to get to it.
They're right here.
Well, it's not always that.
Go ahead, Mitch.
I was just going to say, when Alex came off the field and they brought him to the x-ray room or whatever.
Did they even bring him? I just thought they took him.
No, they brought him in there for a moment and then took him.
Did they have to get him off the cart onto a gurney?
Not gurney.
Is gurney the right word?
Stretcher?
It's not a gurney. They went wheelchair.
Okay.
Wheelchair with the leg out.
Well, especially if you know, which they likely knew, that like gurney stretcher is when more damage could be done if you move him around. I don't think, you know what I mean?
Well, they had the air
I'm sure they stabilized
they
the
air
leg.
Cast
right.
But you had.
God, that looks so bad.
Had all levels of Redskins personnel came down to check on him.
I bet.
And that's, they've made an investment in the player, but I think
that's
it also tells you,
thing.
Yeah, that's a personal thing.
And I'll say this, let me say this on a couple levels. The fans were great today. I talked to Josh Norman afterwards, and he loved it. He said, that's what we need. A lot of players said that the crowd that was here was very loud. I also think, I don't know how much Redskins fans love Alex Smith right now. The offense hasn't looked too good. They had a guy that moved the ball a lot. Alex doesn't. Redskins fans handled his exit
classy
the right way. And you don't, what was the old Chris Rock bit? You shouldn't get applauded for shit you're supposed to do. But the Skins did that right. And I think there's something to be said there. As much as they were then excited that Colt was out there, I've gotten to know Alex a decent amount. Really nice person, great family. All you can say is you hope the absolute best. Quick recovery.
Of course.
I mean, I don't know how quick that recovery can possibly be, but. You hope, big picture, all the right things.
As much as the offense was a little bit of a slog with Alex at the helm, he had the respect of the locker room, and the players were still behind him, are still behind him, we're still behind him. And that tells you a lot about how Alex is viewed. But Colt coming in is a shot in the arm to this offense. It's a shot in the arm to this team, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out from here.
I was trying to make this point that this has been a team that's been so reliant on winning the turnover battle with Alex under center, but now with Colt, he's going to turn it over more than Alex, so you're going to have to get used to that. But can he produce more downfield plays and more touchdowns and more scoring to kind of offset the increase in turnovers that's going to come with him? And I think that's going to be the big question with Colt.
All right, let's run through my notes. The first note, and this isn't going to be talked about enough, but it's an issue. I just said Lamar Miller able to run when he wants, yeah. And he was. Go ahead.
My thing about Lamar running when he wants and these teams that have been able to run the ball.
Big holes.
They have, but you also have to look at how the Redskins have defense has attacked.
That's a good point. I think schematically, the schemes for Houston and for Tampa were give it up and exactly. Just contain big plays.
The D-line didn't have a lot of help from linebackers. They had no help from the secondary because you saw
Clinton
the secondary.
Clinton Dix led him with tackles because he had to make all the tackles.
He was running right. Into it. It'll be interesting to see when they get to Dallas
again, look different.
Against a team that runs the ball and yeah. They're not
a limited aerial
scared,
attack.
Yeah. You're not particularly scared of Dak if they're going to attack the running game a little bit differently. But they don't have a whole lot of help there, allowing you know they're getting beat. They're bend don't break, and part of that happens in the running game.
Yeah. All right. So my next thing, the drive to make it 10-7 was a very important drive. I think this stadium, this maybe even this season, if it gets to the Texans left a lot on the table because they made it 10. They got to 10-0. They easily could have made it 17 or something. They didn't. Alex looked good on that drive to make it 10-7. And then they get another interception, the first interception off Deshaun Watson. It's 10-7. They're driving the ball, and Alex puts a dime to Vernon, and he drops it.
Yep.
And they had all the momentum going. I think I don't know that that's a touchdown. I think Vernon probably gets tackled.
But a lot of room to run.
It's a big gainer, and it could have scored, and it would have put them in position, you'd think, for at least a field goal to tie it up 10-10. That was
coming off last week when he
momentum killer.
And coming off last week when he missed that long play to Vernon, it was right. Like when the ball's in the air and you see Vernon, you know, in stride under it, you're like, all right, let's go. This is, you know, they're starting to get in tune a little bit. But man, that was a killer.
Yeah, and then so I mean, my notes kind of go nuts once once the injury happened and everything else.
Well, before the injury, the pick six was
just a
killer. Just a killer. I mean, that was everything Smith isn't in one play. And the one thing you couldn't afford in that situation and the one thing he's avoided throughout this season is backbreaking penalties. And I don't know. Maybe that's on Reed. But I don't know.
Just a miscommunication. He sat and Smith thought he was going outside or there was a little slip or something. But that was in the game full of turning points. That was the first one and maybe even the biggest one before. If you just block out everything else, I mean, they were going in to score and then Houston got a pick and just ran all the way back. It was insane.
At the time,
10-point swing at least.
At the time, you thought it was like this is what's wrong with Alex Smith and the offense. It's week 10 and you still aren't on the same page as your
right.
Star tight end in terms of, you know, reading the defenses the same way. And that's the problem with a lot of those choice routes, which we saw with Kirk a little bit last year. The Redskins run a lot of choice routes, which basically the receiver's reading the coverage that's on him and either breaks in or out, more or less. And the confusion there.
You have to make the defender, whether it's the linebacker or the safety, commit to which way you're going.
Right. And you have to understand where their leverage is and make sure that you and the quarterback are on the same page. And to be at this point in the season and have that's a pretty basic choice route, I think.
Yeah.
To have that issue was problematic.
The season now, obviously, where Smith and Reed couldn't get on the same page kind of throughout, and it was the damning final.
And Reed looked pretty good
later.
Right.
Cold out there.
Well, and I mean, Alex dropped him a couple dimes.
Dude, I mean, I think
Alex made a couple nice throws to the middle.
I think Reed's getting a game ball. 7 catches, 71 yards, TD.
Yeah.
Certainly, that was a killer before half. It wasn't long into the second half till Alex got hurt. I think it was about 7 minutes in the third quarter, something like that. Sound right?
Yeah.
Colt comes out, gets him moving. You know, they're moving the ball. A couple things late. I think Jay absolutely should have called a timeout before the 2-minute warning.
Yes. Thank
you. I think you just can't be leaving time on the clock like that. You're down. You know what I mean? Like, I think
there is that he wants to keep the timeout.
He wants to
for the final
have
drive.
One timeout for the final drive. So the Texans run one play
that they ended up having to use on the BS Norman Nolan.
Right. The Redskins call a timeout. Then they would either punt, kick a field goal, and the Redskins would have a minute 40 and one timeout to go down the field. But I agree with JP. I think they need to call one on the front side of the 2-minute warning. Make them run the third down play
right.
before the before the 2 minute warning.
Because the thing that always gets forgotten is the other team can get a first down.
Right.
Like they can just end it. So control it when you can is would always be kind of my thought. You know, it's I keep saying this. I'm realizing on these post-game pods because it's still incredibly hard to do game day without Tandler. It, like upstairs, it's so nice that the Skins PR set up the plaque for Tandler's seat and everything, but I sit next to it the whole time and I'm like looking at it the whole time. But it's the same on the road. You just think about them. But when they clocked that ball on the game-winning drive attempt when Colt spiked it, I could just imagine Tandler going bananas. He hated the spike. It didn't really burn them, but he would have liked to have another down, certainly. And Tandler's thing was always have a play called. Have your spike play ready to go. And yeah, whatever that is, default, just be ready to go.
Instead of, hey, going, we're going to go spike, go right. With one play.
Hey, yeah. You know, we're going whatever the hell.
Well, I mean.
Mitch's underwear. That could be the spike play call. Nobody knows what's coming.
Yikes. What the hell?
I don't even know what that meant.
That came out of left field, really. They call two plays in the huddle most plays anyway. They have the right. Play call, and then they have the kill.
Right.
So you just call two plays.
Like whatever the audible was on the other play, right. That's what you run.
Well, there's no kill play in a two-minute drill right. when you're going to hand the ball off, you right. know? So just call two pass plays and hell, run yeah, them back
just,
to back.
Just run the same play again and look
Eagles
the other way.
Boat race in New Orleans. This Saints team might be pretty good, fellas, especially playing in the Superdome.
Is it going to be Redskins Cowboys in the NFC East coming down the wire?
Certainly looking that way.
Eagles are Thursday's a pretty big
game.
Here.
Thursday's a pretty big game.
I mean, they control their own destiny.
Oh, jeez. Dude.
They're chomping at the bit, too.
I did some TV today, and I heard that a lot, Mitch.
You cringe.
I had to hold myself back from saying something.
Prescott fakes the handoff, throws it out to the left. Corner falls. It's caught by Cooper up the middle and into the end zone for a Cowboys touchdown. The defender fell down on the play, and Cooper goes in untouched.
I'll start goats.
Please do.
The refs. This is where I think you talk about the refs. The refs, you heard my rant about the Reed non-call. It wasn't about the calls that were made. Each team got penalized four times. The yardage is about the same, 25 for the Skins, 30 for the Cowboys. The missed calls were just abhorrent.
The Moreau call we talked about earlier, Dak is in the ground basically with two defenders draped over him. He's throwing the ball away, and they throw that flag. And it's just maddening because it had no effect on the play. It wasn't a hold as it was. It had no effect on the play.
Oh, a hold that didn't affect the play? That sounds like something we said last week,
yeah,
Mitchell.
Right?
Maybe the NFL will apologize for this one, too, and it won't help the Redskins.
Right, it'll do a whole lot of good, you know, whenever that happens.
Perfect.
All right, you're up, Pete.
Ha-ha Clinton Dix.
Not a great game.
The first touchdown that Zeke had, him and Ha-ha were kind of on a path to meet, and then somehow Ha-ha Clinton Dix didn't lay a finger on Zeke. I don't know how it happened. It looked like he had a decent angle and then just was caught flat-footed and was blown by. And then the Moreau touchdown, or the Cooper touchdown, the long one, was mostly on Moreau, but Ha-ha Clinton Dix had a chance to clean it up. Again, he didn't, and then he was left in the dust. So we're hoping that he makes a big difference on the defense. Today he did make a difference, and it was a negative difference.
Mitchell?
I'm going to go with Quentin Dunbar, man. And maybe I'm wrong, but
I'm okay
I love the guttiness to play, but
he even said this week, last time I pushed it too early and I wasn't ready.
Yeah. You could tell early on that he wasn't right. I think Dak recognized early on that he wasn't right. And, I mean, is question for you guys, is 100% of Greg Stroman better than 75% of Quentin Dunbar? Or Danny Johnson or
yeah, I said earlier in the pod, I think Dunbar's better, but I kind of want to take that back.
I think it depends where the number is.
Yeah. And I don't think the number was 75% today.
Yeah, I think that's
but, It's gutty, but at the end of the day, it hurt the team a lot having him out there. I mean, I hate to say it because you love these guys that fight through the pain to play, but somebody has to be the adult in the room and, you know, point out.
Who's the adult in this room?
No, there's none.
You?
There's none.
Mitch at best.
Mitch at best, yeah. But I mean, I'm looking at this trash can. Like, is that trash can more of an adult than me and JP? And it kind of is. It's a very organized trash can.
Such a lame.
He loves the inanimate objects.
I know.
I actually have a couple inanimate objects. Oh, sorry. Right, go ahead.
Anyway. What's your next goat?
I think we got to talk about Colt.
I was going to say it. It's really? It's
bro, he had three picks.
Three picks.
So he did have three picks.
It was he didn't have a lot of
help. It was the Colt experience, dude. Like, he makes plays. He tries to go for it. Colt attacks success.
Colt was not the reason that the Redskins lost this game.
He had three picks. Could have been four. Josh Doctson made a heck of a play to stop an interception.
Before the first
and round. Had a fumble.
That was
you
picked
can't
up.
Turn it over like that. I think there are reasons. What Colt said in postgame, I think, is very accurate. There are reasons to be encouraged. But you can't turn the ball over like that.
Listen,
nothing directly correlates to wins and losses in the NFL like turnovers.
So Colt afterward.
If it's not a goat, it's the biggest eye roll you can
I
get.
Think I would give absolute
I was
going to
say, I give him an eye roll, but I don't think he's a goat because
you vote
he's
goat.
Absolute goat.
He's
goat.
Not the reason the Redskins lost.
Bro, it was number two on my list.
The lack of turnovers. Well, the defense.
He's a big part of it, Mitch.
Dude, he's a goat.
I disagree.
He's an absolute goat.
Three interceptions.
Yes.
Alex had three picks, if Kirk had three picks
we
last
gave
year.
Alex goats and wins when he was didn't turn the ball over at all.
Alex was throwing for 170 yards a game.
Colt went
he
for,
threw
268.
For 260. Yeah.
A lot of garbage time yards in there.
24 or 38.
It's not garbage time yards when you're
just 24 or 38, 268, two touchdowns, three picks, 68.8 rating. It's a low rating.
It's a goat.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pete.
He said afterward that the short week hurt and the walkthroughs hurt, and he hopes that he'll clean up things and yada, yada. I mean, it was probably a lot to expect that just because he's in Jay Gruden's system for years that he's going to hit the ground running. Of course, he didn't have a running game. Also, that didn't help, but Colt's a goat. I did like, though, afterward he still said—
Are you just confirming it? Are you not doing a new one?
He still said that he's going to give his guys shots and he's going to push the ball downfield.
Right?
I'm just saying that— Even after a game like that, he trusts his receivers and he's going to keep throwing the ball downfield at them. So
AP
I guess
said,
that's okay.
Pointed out that he still hasn't taken a snap with first team in practice.
Yep. Right, there was no practice.
Do you have a goat, or are you just going to reconfirm what we?
Fabian Moreau at the beginning of the game, kind of early on after
he at one point just looks at me, he's like, "Is Fabian Moreau good?"
That's what he got beat for a catch, and I look at JP, I go, "Is Fabian Moreau good?" And then a couple quarters later, I was like, "Fabian Moreau is not good, at least today."
I tell you what, the drop-off at slot corner from what Fuller was doing to what is happening now.
Yeah. I'm hoping, though, that this is – Fuller had a really tough rookie season. This isn't Fabian's rookie season, but it's his real first taste of football. So hopefully he can kind of make that same jump. But right now it's been a little bit ugly in the slot and on the outside and deep and short and everywhere.
I'm going to go with Adrian Peterson.
Ooh.
Couldn't move the ball. Didn't hit a lot of holes hard. Obviously had the shoulder injury. He said afterwards that when he came off the field at back, he thought that he had dislocated again, but it wasn't. It just hurt a whole hell of a lot. So they couldn't get the run game going. It wasn't all on AP, but certainly if he's fallen forward for those 3 and 4 yards instead of trying to cut back for 10 and 20, I think that makes a big difference in the progression of the offense. 2nd and 7, 2nd and 6 instead of 2nd and 9 or 10 is a big difference. And Colt can play from off schedule a little better than Alex did. It doesn't crush him when that happens. However, you give yourself a whole lot more opportunities when you're on the right down and distance.
Yeah, Colt did convert a couple 3rd and longs early that this team hadn't been converting, which was encouraging. But eventually, those catch up to you.
Indeed. He is my guy, but he's also a true professional, so he'll understand. Hopkins, can't miss extra points. Goat.
Definitely.
Any disagreement?
Nope. No.
You can't miss XPs, dude.
Oh, and we probably missed the game ball on Tress.
Tress is perennial.
He just gets a standing ball.
Yeah, standing game ball for Tressway. You're right. We missed it, and Tress absolutely gets a game ball. Dude is balling.
The first time that he has a touchback, though, I'm giving him a goat.
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
Just for how good he's been.
He's... Yo, my girl Liz Locker Room, I don't know what her Twitter handle is now, sent out a tweet. Yo, is Tress kind of thick in the hips? It made me laugh
kinda
like
thick,
hell.
Though.
All right, go ahead, Pete.
I'm kind of in eye roll territory at this point.
That's fine.
Mo Harris.
I got one eye roll.
Mo Harris was targeted 5 times, had 0 catches, eye roll.
Oh. He had the one catch where it was like he jumped out of
bounds. It's like he didn't want to catch it in bounds. That was kind of odd. Mitch?
I was just – did we not miss a hat tip to Josh Doctson?
Yeah, good game. 66 yards.
Career high in catches.
Four catches correct? In the fourth quarter, though, when the game was kind of out of reach.
So why do you think that that's...
Oh, I understand. But we always got on Kirk for garbage time stats and stuff.
That's not garbage time when you're...
For a wideout, though, it's different. For a QB, it's one thing.
When Mo had that 10 for 125 against the Falcons, we were like kind of poo-pooing.
They were blown out the whole game. Whatever, dude. I'm cool with the hat tip.
Yeah. Okay.
Tip away.
I also I don't think those are empty yards.
I don't think so either. It was a two-score game.
Yeah, like.
I'm done. I got one more. I got it. At least an eye roll and maybe a go.
Ooh, what you got over there, Japes?
You know, I'm saying eye roll. There's another guy that's my guy, but he's a professional. Mason Foster. If for nothing else, just the stiff arm Zeke delivered that shoved him to the ground. I don't know if you saw that, Mitch. I don't know where you were on the field.
I saw it.
That Zeke's highlight reel.
It's going to be on the old YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be around.
However, in Mason's defense, he was out in space one-on-one with Zeke.
I agree.
That easily
and he got him out of bounds. Like, he made been, the play.
It easily could have been 80 yards Zeke.
Agreed, jumping
into the Salvation Army touchdown. So it's unfortunate that he
got any others, Pete?
No.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.